Gang, I'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Quality News Network. The president continues his so-called listening tour to hear advice on how to possibly change course in the Iraq war. He is now expected to deliver a speech to the nation about any policy changes in January, not by Christmas, as was earlier expected. President Bush met with Iraq's Sunni Vice President Tariq al-Hashimi today in Washington. He also heard from senior military commanders in Iraq via video conference. The latest ABC News Washington Post poll finds that 7 out of 10 Americans disapprove of how President Bush is handling the Iraq war. Also, 6 in 10 state that the Iraq war was not worth fighting. In a main square in central Baghdad today, at least 63 people, mostly day laborers looking for work, were killed by 2 car bombs that exploded nearly simultaneously. As many as 200 people were wounded. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, a Shiite, blamed the attack on the Sunnis. An Associated Press cameraman was shot to death today in the northern city of Mosul. He is the 3rd AP employee to be killed while covering the Iraq war. The Committee to Protect Journalists says that at least 89 journalists have been killed in Iraq since the war began. The Israeli Supreme Court today ruled that Palestinians could seek compensation from Israel for damages caused by the Israeli army. The court today unanimously threw out a law that prevented the Palestinians from seeking compensation if they have been harmed by Israeli combat operations. The Saudi ambassador to the United States, Prince Turki Al-Fazal, abruptly resigned today after only 15 months on the job, turned back home to Saudi Arabia to spend more time with his family, according to diplomatic sources. In 6 U.S. states today, federal agents raided meat processing plants as part of an immigration raid. An unknown number of illegal immigrants were arrested. They are suspected of taking part in an identity theft ring. Operations at all 6 plants of the Swift Company were temporarily suspended during those raids. 800,000 current and former students, faculty, and staff of the University of California, Los Angeles have been notified that a campus computer was hacked. Their names and some personal information may have been exposed. Incoming House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she would introduce legislation to increase the oversight of the Congressional Page Program. She called the young people who participate in it a national treasure. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distant guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Health investigators are still looking into the cause of an E. coli outbreak among Taco Bell customers in the Northeast and Taco John customers in Iowa. The CDC says no food source has yet been confirmed as the cause. The super jumbo jet, the Airbus A380, has been declared safe to begin commercial flights. The massive double-decker plane, which has 555 seats, faced numerous delivery delays and was under development for 6 years. Federal Reserve policy members held their last meeting of the year and decided to leave short-term interest rates unchanged at 5.25%. The chairman of Hewlett-Packard, Mark Hurd, said that there is more cost-cutting ahead for the computer maker. The investment banking company Goldman Sachs reported that this year it earned over $9 billion, a record amount. Profits were up 93% from last year. The Environmental Protection Agency introduced a new system to calculate fuel economy in cars. It will more closely reflect the real-world mileage mileage that new car owners can expect and thus will lower the mileage estimates for most new vehicles starting in 2008 models. Light sweet crude is trading at $60.95 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today, and near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is down 13 points at 12,315. The NASDAQ is down 11 points, the S&P 500 down 1. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to
11. 11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. And now, your host, the ranting, headbanging hippie, John Fox.
G'day, everybody. John Fox coming to you live from Sydney, Australia via the Head-On Studios in West Virginia. It's about 7 minutes past the hour on, what day is it today? it would be probably Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening where you are. It's Wednesday morning where I am. Jeez, it gets confusing. If you want to drop us a line, email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, or dial into the program, 1-877-443-2366. And I've been talking... sorry, my producer's cracking me up in our production chat. Geez, folks. I've been talking about the bushfires down here in Australia, and it just continues to be a nightmare for folks in not just three states, but now four states, because some jackass decided to light a bushfire in Perth yesterday. Now, I hope they can find who's responsible for starting intentionally a bushfire and throw the book at him. And I mean, I think in a country like Australia, it should be a life sentence for starting a bushfire. It just, hands down, there's just, when I heard that this morning, I thought my heart was just going to stop. You know, I mean, we've got farmers and residents and homeowners under threat all over this brown land here, and to have some idiot out in Perth, or just outside of Perth, which is one of the only places in Australia that actually has a decent water supply, to go and start a fire, I tell you what, man, be one of the rare times that I think a lynch mob would be justified. However, that's not the big story for the day. Via a few different sites, our news ninja sent this to me. My missus found it also last night via the Los Angeles Times and also LiveScience.com. Talking about a global hell if there's a limited nuclear conflict, and this is some scary stuff. In the Los Angeles Times piece here at the City Morning Herald, even a small nuclear war could have catastrophic environmental and societal consequences, extending the death toll far beyond the number of people killed directly by bombs, said the first comprehensive climactic analysis of such a conflict. Scientists say a few dozen Hiroshima-sized nuclear weapons exchanged between India and Pakistan, for example, could produce a pall of smoke that would encircle the Earth, causing temperatures to fall worldwide and disrupting food production for millions of people. Owen Toon, an atmospheric researcher at the University of Colorado, told a meeting of the American Geophysical Union on Monday that although a small nuclear exchange might not trigger a nuclear winter, that would wipe out all of life, cause as much death as was once predicted by a nuclear war between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. These results are quite surprising, Toon said. Regional nuclear conflicts can endanger entire populations the way it was once thought only worldwide conflict could. The analysis was presented in two papers that dealt with climactic, atmospheric, and social consequences of a regional exchange. The studies were published in the online Journal of Atmospheric Chemistry and Physics Discussions. Since the 1980s, when the U.S. and Soviet Union began reducing their nuclear stockpiles, the number of weapons around the world has declined by a factor of three, Dr. Toon said. There are now about 10,000 such weapons, and that is expected to drop to 4,000 by 2012. But the number of potential nuclear-armed nations has risen dramatically. Dr. Toon said that 40 countries had the fissile material to build nuclear weapons. Many were unstable and in dispute with their neighbors. In conducting the research, the scientists looked at other global cataclysms, such as the 1815 eruption of Tambora's volcano in Indonesia. It triggered the year without a summer, which led to lethal frosts and crop losses in the northeastern U.S. and crop failures and famine in Europe. The author said even a limited nuclear conflict would be much worse, killing as many as 17 million people in China alone. The biggest atmospheric impact from such an exchange would be the accumulation of smoke and soot in the atmosphere, said Professor Gregory Stenchikoff of Rutgers University, good old New Jersey school, my home state. He estimated 5 million tons of soot could be thrown into the air by the explosion of about 115 kiloton weapons. This would rise to the stratosphere and stay up there for up to 10 years, causing temperatures to fall several degrees. This just reinforces the why have we gone stupid in the last 10 years when we were beginning to get smart in the 90s. Omer in Israel actually dropped a bit of a bomb yesterday, saying that, well, they had the bomb, and after saying it, he said, let's not talk about it anymore. This is a real serious situation here. I mean, I go off about global warming all the time, and the effects of our industrial society. But I mean, the warmongers out there could end up doing much more damage in a very short period of time. And why? I mean, this has to just reopen the discussion on why are we continuing to want to go down this track of having these type of weapons? India and Pakistan is a really good example of where this could come from. I mean, you have two countries that are not dealing with each other in good terms, and how you can have a small regional conflict turn around and absolutely decimate this planet. And I just, you know, I really thought for a time we woke up and, you know, the United States had stopped manufacturing these weapons, and now George W. Shrubby, the Nimrod Bush, you know, wants to go, is going back and playing in these circles again. You know, this is global suicide. You know, we just got to think outside our own, you know, self-important battles when it comes to the thought of launching a weapon like this. You know, I mean, if it's already known that if a conflict like this took place in the Middle East, Australia would be one of the worst places affected, because the trade winds would bring all the crap right here. You know, thanks a lot, boys. All right, well, you know, if that wasn't bad enough, I've got some other environmental news a little bit later in the program. This made my blood run cold, if global warming can make your blood run cold. But we'll get into that a bit later. We're going to head into our first break of the afternoon, the evening, the morning, depending on where you reside on this beautiful blue marble, as it still is beautiful and blue to a point. And if you want to get in on the program, please feel free to dial into 1-877-443-2366. But when we come back, in honor of those that still think nukes are a viable defensive mechanism, we're going to come back with some legendary Black Sabbath. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back after this.
Is there a way? Help me to show.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing, and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes, because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
My heart to the Sappho's round casing.
Welcome back, everybody, to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and that would be Jimmy Barnes and Cold Chisel with Kason. Great track. An Aussie legend. Okay, before we get into the track of the day, this little piece from the Courier Mail here in Australia really disturbed me, and thank you again to our news ninjas for sending this to me. Iraqi diggers silenced. Now, diggers are the Australian kind of term for our soldiers. Now, this, how opposite world is this? The Australian Defence Force has banned soldiers from writing online journals and has deleted blogs from troops serving in Iraq. Critics say soldiers are being denied their very freedoms they are fighting for. The blogs were destroyed in September, hours after pictures of Australian soldiers playing with guns surfaced on the internet in the days before the inquiry into Private Jake Kovko's death in Baghdad. Yes, one of the two Australian deaths in Australia came down to basically what seems to be some irresponsible gun guy was killed by his own weapon in the barracks. Australia's leading defense think tank, a civil libertarian, and an internet expert have blasted the move as heavy-handed, saying it denied freedom of speech and destroyed Australian history. This shows how far behind the times the Australian Defense Force is, the Australian Council for Civil Liberties President Terry O'Gorman said. Pardon me, I'll get my tongue under control at some point. If the American Army allows blogs, why doesn't the Australian Army? If it does not pose a security threat, why are these soldiers being denied the rights of democracy they are fighting for? MIL blogs, the online term for military weblogs, emerged as the warfare's latest phenomenon. Across Iraq, soldiers sit at computers typing out their fears, concerns, and first-hand accounts of life, sometimes moments after returning from battle. The Pentagon harnessed the power of MIL blogs for positive publicity and recruitment. There are more than 1,600 MIL blogs from 28 countries on MILblogging.com, but Australia has none. This is just such a contradiction in the whole concept of freedom. This is another example of how, you know, we talk about the American government being secretive. Australia sometimes can show the Americans exactly what that can mean. We know a whole lot less about what our soldiers are doing in Iraq than you all know about what yours are doing in Iraq. And John Howard and the Australian Defense Force have done a pristine job in keeping the details out of the media and away from the public. So, with that, this just angers me beyond belief, and if I was an Australian soldier, I would be absolutely furious, and I bet a lot of these boys are. So anyway, because of the story of what would happen if we would, you know, have a limited conflict, I thought today was a perfect day to play one of my favorite tracks of all time, and it seems like we're having a little bit of a metal vibe these days. Black Sabbath, War Pigs, and I think it needs everybody.
gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. Stops turning, ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power, and as God has struck the hour, day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees, the war pigs crawling. Begging mercies for the sin. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah. We'll be right back.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Beth, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
The chair, silver chair. Ah, the boys are making a comeback this year. New album coming out 2007. In fact, a really good mate of mine, Billy, is heading out to go do guitars for them this very weekend. And good friend of the Head On Radio Network, Mr. Scott Barry from B1 Ladder Productions, just did a gig with them a couple weeks ago. And I said, so how is the chair? And he just said, friggin' awesome. such a great young band. I mean, they were 16 and 17 when that track there, Tomorrow, came out. And they actually were discovered via a thing that's done here every year on Triple J Radio called Unearthed. And whoever wins the Unearthed competition gets a slot in the Australian festival here called the Big Day Out. And when they showed up for their sound check, none of the technicians believed that they were the kids behind the song. It took a little bit of finagling before anyone would actually take them seriously. And I know a few people that were there on the day, their first big, huge show, and said, you know, it was a little loose, it was a little young, but you saw the signs of greatness to come. And there's just no doubt about the greatness of that young band. And they're not all that young anymore. I mean, they're in their mid to late 20s now, I gather, and young for compared to some of us. But anyway, this next bit of story here really, really, really freaked me out when I saw it last night. Arctic ice gone by 2040. That's right. Arctic ice gone. Not melting, not almost gone, but gone. Out of San Francisco, global warming could melt the Arctic ice during the summer as early as 2040, raising serious environmental as well as commercial and strategic issues, scientists warn. The effects of greenhouse warming are starting to rear their ugly heads, said Mark Cerise of the National Snow and Ice Data Center at the University of Colorado in Boulder. Marika Holland, a scientist at the National Center of Atmospheric Research, projects a slow, steady decline of Arctic ice as global warming continues, with a dramatic tipping point in about two decades. Research published by the Journal of Geophysical Research Letters yesterday found the extent of sea ice each September could be reduced so abruptly that, within 20 years, it may begin retreating four times faster than at any time in observed record. The ice is actually quite stable until 2025, and then boom, it goes, Dr. Holland told the meeting of the American Geophysical Union in San Francisco. That means the Arctic could be ice-free in summer as early as 2040, according to modeling done on supercomputers. In one simulation, the September ice shrinks from about 6 million square kilometers to 2 million square kilometers in a 10-year period, By 2040, only a small amount of perennial sea ice would remain along the north coast of Greenland and Canada, while most of the Arctic basin would be ice-free in September. Melting Arctic ice could change the world's ecosystem, including sea and surface life, weather, shipping patterns, and even national defense needs. There are winners and losers, but on balance, I think it's a negative, Dr. Surtees said. The opening of shipping routes would benefit Russia and Canada, but problems would range from how wildlife would adapt to how nations respond to new frontiers. And that's via Reuters. You know, it's like, these are the moments that I wish that, you know, or I envision having not the online version of these articles, but a stone tablet version of these things to smack over the head of the global warming deniers. This is shocking stuff, people. You know, it's no longer a gradual thing. This isn't happening, you know, in the next century. It's not happening, you know. This is going to happen in my lifetime. You know, I still plan to be around, I hope, in 2040. I won't be that old. I'll be getting on. I'll probably be a real gray old headbanger, still hoping that I can pick up a guitar and noodle something. But this is just insane. And just trying to imagine what the displacement issues will be if this happens. I mean, seriously, Bob and Agnes might have beachfront property there in the mountains if this takes place. I mean, this has got to be one of the most chilling, excuse the pun, things I've heard in a long time. I was doing some Google video yesterday. You know, I thought I'd go around and check out some independent documentaries on politics and other things. And I was looking at, I was trying not to preach to my own choir a bit, so I went looking around at some, you know, things that might be outside of my own belief system. And I was checking out, and I know a whole bunch of people are going to just shiver when I say this, but I was checking out a documentary by Alex Jones from 2002. And it was a thing called The Road to Tyranny. And although there was a whole lot of it that was disingenuous, there were some interesting thought-provoking things on issues of freedom and you know, what's happening in America with law enforcement, and the fact that you know, the U.S. military is now more and more being used to police the American people. And you know, there's some interesting things in there, and didn't necessarily agree with a lot of it, but he was going all right until the last 20 minutes, when all of a sudden he went, and the Kyoto Protocol is just another form of international government trying to control us all. And I just went, oh man, you just lost it. You just, whatever limited credibility you had, you just blew straight out of the water. Now, I know this was in 2002, so I'd be kind of curious to see if the groundswell of information that's been coming up in just the last couple of years, which seems to be waking up a lot of the general population. I mean, what I've seen happen in Australia over the last just year has been astounding, and a lot of that I have to give credit to Channel 7 Sunrise program, and I am trying to get the hosts of Sunrise on this program to talk about why they've taken the environment on as the forefront of their program, and their Cool the Globe campaign. And their Cool the Globe campaign has become such a major part of their program and of their audience that the Cool the Globe pages from their website are no longer a subdivision of their website. It is now a website on its own. And if you want to check out some of the things that they're doing, and it's really, really some very, very progressive stuff, go to cooltheglobe.com. I would suggest that you do, because they've gotten involved with Origin Energy, which is a Queensland energy company who are known as the greenest of all the electric companies in Australia. And they have not only a calculator to find your greenhouse and carbon footprints, but you can calculate the exact dollar figure that it would take for you to reinvest in green power to make your own home carbon neutral. And I did it for Gail and I, and it showed that because we don't own a car and because we don't use our electric stove and use our liquid propane barbecue to cook as much as we possibly can outside, our cost to compensate for our carbon footprint would be $324 Australian for the year 2007. And they've put up a challenge where you can find out exactly what you would need to reinvest in green power and green initiatives to compensate for your own carbon footprint. And they're making this really accessible, and they're making it a nonpartisan issue. And it's something that I'm trying to do with this program as much as I can, is not to just go after the right wing on this, because this is a human problem. This is a human issue. This is outside of politics. And if you just think what would happen if the entire Arctic ice cap was gone by 2040, what would that do for business? You know, how much disruption would that cause to the global marketplace, which everyone puts so much investment in and so much concern into? Well, I go right back to the thing. No planet, no business. Full stop. Full stop. So, you know, I mean, I do not see how you can be a denier when you read well-founded, you know, research, you know, peer-published papers that say we're on the road to destruction. This is insane. And, you know, what is it that I'm going to be leaving behind for my son? You know? I've got a little boy. And I don't think about this as far as the life that I will have in 30, 40 years. I'm worried about the life that he's going to have 60 years down the road. You know, the time is not now. The time was 20, 30 years ago, and we got a lot of catching up to do, kids. All right. John's going to take a breath. We're going to take our final break for the day. It's about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network with John Fox, coming to you from Sydney, Australia. We will be right back after these messages.
They're trying to get you in, strolling by with a rosebud smile. They're all dressed up to kill, lean on the windowsill.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number 1? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing@irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Ah, oh, Gene, this is a classic. Okay. Okay, folks, hold on to your right wing nut hats. This is just insane. Okay, via People for the American Way, an article on WorldNet Daily. Soy makes you gay. Oh my God. And they have this picture of one of the Teletubbies holding a plate on high with a package of soy milk. But here from the People for the American Way, it says, sometimes you have to marvel at the things published by WorldNet Daily, such things as this column by James Rutz of Megashift Ministries. Megashift Ministries, that sounds a bit odd. They say, there is a slow poison out there that's severely damaging our children and threatening to tear apart our culture. The dangerous food I'm speaking of is soy. Soybean products are feminizing, and they're all over the place. You can hardly escape them anymore. Soy is feminizing and commonly leads to the decrease in the size of the penis, sexual confusion, and homosexuality. Oh my God, talk about tutti frutti. That's why most of the medical and spiritual blame for today's rise in homosexuality must fall upon the rise in soy formula and other soy products. All I can tell you right now is one kid who was born with a milk allergy early in his life, which I don't suffer anymore and I grew out of, I had lots of soy formula, and I can tell you, it didn't feminize me at all. Well, I'm not gay. Not that it would matter. Not that I would care. But I mean, Most babies are bottle fed during some part of their infancy, and one-fourth of them are getting soy milk. Homosexuals often argue that their homosexuality is inborn because, I can't remember a time when I wasn't homosexual. No, homosexuality is always deviant. But now many of them can truthfully say that they can't remember a time when excess estrogen wasn't influencing them. Oh my God. This is... I... Oh my God, beware Tinky Winky and the soy milk. Oh, jeez! Where do these people come from? I mean, seriously, they have to be doing much better drugs than I ever had access to when I was touring with rock and roll bands. And I turned down... And Bob says, that's what made his winky so tinky. That's hysterical. Oh, my word. Now, I have some problems with soy, but the problems that I have with soy are the fact that most of what you get has been genetically modified. And that's a completely different situation. But to actually try and say that we're bottle feeding our children into gayness. I mean... And coming from a guy who writes for Mega Shift Ministries, I bet this guy's got a sports car, and I bet that's a compensation for his penis size. But oh my word! This is one of those moments that I wish I was in the Horn chat room during the show, and the only reason that I'm not is because I end up finding it too distracting and I can't do my show properly. But oh yes, Bob, yes, it will come as a real surprise to all those samurai warriors in Japan. Oh my word. I mean, are we talking Looney Tunes or are we talking Looney Tunes? And I'm not talking about Bugs and Daffy, but these people are Looney Tunes. That is just insane. That is absolutely insane. Thank you, Gene, for that, because I was really upset about the global warming story, and that just gave me such a good belly laugh. That is just so over the top. Oh, man. They'll say anything. And why? I mean, I always go back. All these people that go all mad about, you know, gay people and all this. I'm sorry. The lady doth protest too much. I really reckon that most of these people are in denial of their own sexuality, and they're fearful of actually being honest with themselves. I mean, so now they're going to blame their mothers for bottle feeding them. You know, probably because in their families it was thought as being barbaric to actually breastfeed in public. Oh, man. Yeah. All those samurai... Oh, Gene, you didn't blow my show, mate. That was just too classic. That is just too classic. All right, folks, it looks like we're coming up on the end of the show, and with that, I'm glad that I could send you off with a laugh. Really quickly through the credits, the show was announced and brilliantly produced today by the one, the only Bob Kincaid, who will be coming up straight after this. I still have to go back and listen to yesterday's confrontation with the right-winger. I heard it was something else. The streaming and the archives, whiterosesociety.org. Ben Birch doesn't send a bill, so you got to go over there and do the right thing. Thank you to, of course, Susan and Gene, our news ninjas. I love you. You two just so rock. Peter, ELO, Lottie, Freckles, our mods in the chat room. You all rock. Scott Barry at B1 Louder Productions for all the music. And of course to the Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters, because they are out there, the men and women in their droves, building the American dream each and every day. Folks, it's been so much fun being with you today. We will see you tomorrow, and as I always say, Be good. Be green. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
You know, you never know where music is going to come from. This one we learned from a young lady who had spent a lot of time traveling with various groups, bands.
Yeah, well, she was doing a lot of other things, too.
Enough of that, please, Al. This is a family crowd. Are we sure of that? An extended family crowd.
Yeah.
Getting
more extended all the time.
We learned this little ditty from her, and we hope you enjoy it.
And if you know it, sing along.
Yes, I'd love to have you join us if you remember it, Mikey.
Baby, start me up.
Start me up.
Baby, start me up. We'll never stop. Baby, start me up.
Start me up.
Baby, start me up. We'll never stop. I've been running hard.
Running hard.
But you got me ticket for the full time. Baby, start me up.
Start me up.
Baby, start me up. We'll never stop. You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
The oil, the gasoline, I ride smooth, she's a clean machine.
So I started up.
Started up.
You want to start again, all you got. I can't compete.
Can't compete.
With the rising reality. Either rough it up.
Rough it up.
Hey, if you like it, can you slide it up? Come on, slide it up now. Grown man cry,
cry.
Don't make a grown man cry,
cry.
Don't make a grown man cry,
cry.
My eyes dilate, my lips go green, my hands are greasy. She's a mean machine.
You make a dead man come.
Come.
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 You make a dead man.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush met with Iraq's Sunni Vice President Tariq al-Hashimi today in Washington. He also heard from senior military commanders in Iraq via video conference. Tomorrow, President Bush will go to the Pentagon to meet with top defense officials. The president continues his listening tour to hear advice on how to possibly change course in the Iraq war. He is now expected to deliver a speech to the nation about any policy changes in January, not by Christmas, as was earlier expected. The Washington Post reports today that a group of military experts who met with the president yesterday were skeptical about the recommendations from the bipartisan Iraq study group, especially the ideas of reducing the number of U.S. troops in Iraq and the proposed talks with Iran and Syria. The Saudi ambassador to the United States, Prince Turki Al-Fazal, abruptly resigned today after only 15 months on the job. He returned back home to Saudi Arabia to spend more time with his family, according to diplomatic sources. In a main square in central Baghdad, at least 70 people, mostly poor day laborers looking for work, were killed by two car bombs that exploded nearly simultaneously. As many as 200 people were wounded. The truck that was used was filled with 440 pounds of explosives. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, a Shiite, called the attack a, quote, horrible massacre and blamed it on the Sunnis and Saddam Hussein sympathizers. An Associated Press cameraman was shot to death today in the northern city of Mosul. He is the third AP employee to be killed while covering the Iraq war. Interpol, the international police organization, has now joined the investigation into the poisoning death of Alexander Litvinenko, a critic of Russian President Vladimir Putin, who died in a London hospital last month. In six U.S. states today, federal agents raided meat processing plants as part of an immigration raid. An unknown number